As we continue with the outcome on the big story of the Bible, we turn our attention now to the New Testament, which we will cover in two parts. As we move to the New Testament, there is a change in the political atmosphere from where we left off in the book of Malachi. Now, Israel has lost its power as a nation, and Rome and Greece are the leading nations in culture, influence, and religion, with the Roman Empire being the most powerful force in the known world. Israel is again living under foreign oppression, after having been invaded by the Romans and subjected to their rule. It is at that time that Jesus came, as recorded in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They recount the story of Jesus' birth, life, ministry, death, and resurrection. From his birth, he was destined to fulfill the role of the promised Messiah, or Christ. Luke 4:17-21 is one of the most direct passages of Scripture where Jesus declares that he is the promised Messiah. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." By saying, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing," Jesus is saying that the Messiah, who was prophesied years ago in the book of Isaiah, has now been fulfilled in him. Catron notes that although all four Gospels are similar, they are also very different. Each Gospel was written for a specific purpose, to a specific audience, and gives a slightly different perspective and viewpoint into who Jesus was and still is today. Matthew was written for a Jewish audience and focuses on how Jesus is the King of the Jews. It was written primarily for believers, which is why it contains a lot of teaching about how we are to live in the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Mark, which is shorter than the other Gospels, is written primarily for a Roman audience, Gentiles, and focuses on how Jesus is the Son of Man. Jesus is always in action in this Gospel, highlighting his miracles, his death, and his resurrection. Luke is written primarily for the Greeks, Gentiles, and portrays Jesus as the Savior of the world. This can be clearly seen in the opening of the Gospel, where Luke traces Jesus' genealogy back to the first man, Adam, thereby showing that salvation through Jesus is still available to the whole world, regardless of whether one is a Jew or a Gentile. John is the most distinct and unique Gospel, and stands out from the others by emphasizing the identity of Jesus as the Son of God. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels because they present and describe the events of Jesus from a similar point of view. However, the Gospel of John is different. It has universal appeal, meaning it is written for believers and unbelievers alike. it digs deeper into the person of Jesus, homing in on who he was as a man and what motivated him. In it, we see insights into Jesus' character and personality, helping us understand what Jesus was like as a person, says Catron. There are also more one-on-one conversations that Jesus had with people individually, as opposed to him preaching to large crowds. The Gospel of John is also unique in that we have the exact reason he wrote it. He says in John 20, verse 31, "But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." It is important for us to note that God established his new covenants through the person of Jesus. Catron rightly says, "The Old Testament tells us how God's old covenant with the Israelites was established through the law. However, Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, and the New Testament represents the greater covenant that is now established in its place." In Matthew 5:17, Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." The law was never meant to lead to our salvation, but to show us how we are in need of a perfect Savior who can save us from sin and death. Catron says, "Now, because of Jesus' finished work on the cross, everyone who believes in him is given eternal life. Jesus did what we could not do, live a life without sin, so he could overcome sin and death for all who believe."